Today's the eve of the day that we celebrate the coming of the Christ child. I hope this Advent season has been a time that has prepared you to renew that coming of the Christ child into your life once again and coming much deeper into your life. The journey of Advent for me is normally a time where I seek to try to know God better. To try to see God deeper. Try to understand how much God really loves me. It's a piece of that song that I just sung that sometimes kind of just sticks in my throat. Because it's really made me think. So I reached out to Jesus, crying, "Lord, hear my plea, for I want you to have all of me." Amen. And every time I sing that, those words really just stand out to me because I realize that as close as I've walked with the Lord, especially as a minister of the past 25 years, there's still pieces of me that I need to give to the Lord. It'll be a never-ending journey. I will never get to the place where I can give my all. But as I'm thinking about some things and researching through some things and sitting and meditating and listening on Scripture, so much of this keeps coming out again and again. The word that stood out to me this morning from my quiet time is Psalm 63, the very first verse. "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Our society is moving in a direction where it is nothing but a parched land. And there's nothing but dry places. And so many people in the midst of our society do not know how to find water. But as I sat and read those words this morning, especially in connection with the song, the sermon that I have for you today, "I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." Is that part of the desire of your heart? Is part of the desire of your heart longing evermore for the Lord? Seeking, searching, desiring, wanting. Going over to Psalm 90, I think it is. "As the deer pants for the water." Is that your soul in searching for God? Because God has done an incredible thing in the coming of Christ Jesus. An incredible thing. You see, when Jesus Christ came, in Jesus Christ is the kindness and love of God that brings us salvation. In this small baby that comes to a young mother, and probably an older father, is the whole kindness and the love of God. I can hear my major professor, Glenn Henson, say, "What does the church have that this world needs?" This church and every church has the love of God. That is what this church needs. That's what this world needs, is to understand that love of God in a deeper way. And the Christ child comes expressing that kindness and that love of God. And that truly is our salvation. It's all right there, wrapped up in a little child. That child grows and expands in ways that are beyond human understanding and shares that kindness and that love at every moment throughout all time. To sit down and really think about how much God loves me overwhelms me. I know who I am. I know where I've been. I know the horrible thoughts I have at times, even still. I know the lost desires that I have, and at times I'm not longing for Christ. I'm longing to do my own thing. And God says, I love you. In spite of who you are, in spite of what you've done, and in spite of what you've done or thought or not done today, God says, I love you. And that's what the coming of the Christ child means. I love you. I love you. And this salvation that Jesus Christ brings to us is not a result of anything we can do for God. It is given to us by the mercy of God. You know what mercy is, don't you? Not getting what you deserve. I know what I deserve for the life that I've lived. Scripture says I deserve death. That's the payment for the life that I've lived. Death. I can't change that. I can't do anything about that. I cannot achieve my own salvation at all. But yet, there are hundreds and thousands and millions of people and billions of people around this world that are trying to make sure by their own effort that they're saved. Can't be done. I tried in the earlier part of my life and thought, salvation means to do this and do this and do this, and I respect God. I found out that wasn't true. And then even after I walked with God very closely for 3 years, I walked away again for 7 and went back to my old lifestyle. It was as though I thought 3 years was more than enough. The truth was, I was mad at God because God didn't do what I wanted done. You see, I couldn't do anything. And I tried a second time in my life as hard as I could to achieve salvation on my own without God. It was as though I wanted to say, God, I don't need you. I can do this on my own. It brought me to a terrible place. It's only by the mercy of God, Titus, Paul says to Titus in this letter. It's only by God's mercy that I have salvation. Only. You might think that you can stack up enough good works that God has to accept you. You might think that you can give enough money that God has to accept you. You might think any number of things that you do will please God in such a way that God says you achieved salvation. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. That's the only payment you get for the life we live. But it goes on to say an exciting thing. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift. I imagine maybe later today or already, or maybe tomorrow, you'll be opening gifts. What would it be like to receive a gift but never open it. Oh, the wrapping looks so pretty. And the bow looks just right, and the ribbon on it. And oh, you spelled my name right. That's not an issue for me. It's an issue for Deanne. It's always amazing how many different ways people can spell her name. In case you don't know what it is, it's capital D, E, capital A, N-N-E. All one word, not two, okay? That A is capitalized in the midst of her name, and it ends with an E. But just think, wow, look at this wonderful gift. It looks so pretty. It looks so nice. I'm going to put it on the shelf and just keep it there. Zach, is that going to happen at your house with kids? Not a chance. We got to open the gift, don't we? God is giving us a free gift of salvation that we didn't earn and can't earn. And you have to open it up. When salvation happens, what happens is the washing away of sin, the being born again, and being renewed as the person God desires for you to be. The washing away of sin. Scripture says that when we come to God and confess our sins, it is washed away, it is gone, it is no more, it is in the deepest ocean, it is as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. And a matter of fact, Scripture even says God forgets it. So that when you come a second time and say, oh God, forgive me for that sin that you've already confessed, God says, what are you talking about? I don't remember that. Now, how incredible is that? Because we don't forget when somebody does us wrong, do we? We remember it for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And Scripture says that God puts it away from us. Can't connect it with us anymore. Our sins are washed away. To being born again means to become into a new life, a new creation, a new person. I'm ashamed of my old person. I'm ashamed of my old person. The old me would not have been here. Never even given a thought to being here. Not even sitting where you are. Not at all. I'm ashamed of it. But you know what? I wouldn't change the path I've walked because that makes me who I am. It made me come ever closer to God because I realized the path that I was on was not good and I needed to be renewed. I needed to be remade, recreated in God's eyes and to live the life that God desires for me to live. And I'm going to tell you one hard thing that many of you will not like. Living the life that God desires for you, I guarantee you, will be outside your comfort zone. I guarantee it. If you're not living outside your comfort zone, you're not living the new life that God has for you. Because I can guarantee that will happen. You know how I know that? Because God does things that God's never done before. God does impossible things. We want to do comfortable things, don't we? That's comfortable. Guess what, folks? You got to hear me give my first solo ever. I didn't pick the song, by the way. I got picked for the song because nobody else would speak up to sing the song. We got together on a Tuesday afternoon, and I'm not going to tell you who didn't volunteer. But we got together on a Tuesday afternoon, and Jerry said, "I need somebody to sing this as a solo." And everybody went, "You know how to do that, don't you? Hey, can you help do something at the church?" I hope he wasn't talking to me. Was that comfortable for me? No. Scared me. Absolutely scared me. I'm confident in my ability to speak. I'm not confident in my ability to sing. I love to sing. You can ask Jerry. I love to sing.
You've done a good job.
Thank you. That's not why I say that, to get praise. But I said it to say this to you. God's going to ask you to move outside your comfort zone. And if God hasn't asked you yet to move outside your comfort zone, to be the person that God desires for you to be, then I think I can boldly say this. You're not listening to God. You're not hearing what God has to say to you. If your relationship with God has not caused you to be born again and be renewed, you need to take some time to listen deeper. Because that's what God wants for you. You know, in all of these actions, they're carried out by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I know, we're Baptists. We talk about Jesus and we talk a little bit about God, but we never mention the Holy Spirit. I think you need to read your scripture then if you want to be that kind of Baptist. Because it's not biblical. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down upon them and they speak in languages they don't know. That fisherman, Peter, is speaking in languages from around the world. I don't think he learned any of those languages on the Sea of Galilee. The Holy Spirit gave him that power, gave him that energy to speak that word. Peter speaks the first Christian sermon. And by the way, for those of you that are confused, he never gave an invitation at the end of his sermon. Never. He finished his sermon and he sat down. And everybody heard what God had said through him, and they came to him and said, but how do we get saved? You didn't tell us. You didn't invite us. And then Peter tells them. Folks, the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Holy Spirit, rain down. That's what we need. As I was singing that song up here, I was like, Holy Spirit, rain down right now. I need you. Jerry wants me to sing. Holy Spirit, rain down. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you? What's outside your comfort zone? The Holy Spirit will empower you to live it. The Holy Spirit will give you the energy to live it. Amen? Do you know the Holy Spirit? It says that God's in heaven, and it says that Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God, and they sent the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. That's the only part, although it's 100%, that's the only part of God that is here, is the Holy Spirit. Folks, you need to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. You need to hear. You need to realize that the Holy Spirit's bringing you power to live this renewed life. How can I live the life I live? Only by God's power through the Holy Spirit. You see, I can't achieve salvation. Neither can I achieve living the life that God wants me to live if I don't let the Holy Spirit guide me, if I don't let the Holy Spirit empower me. Some of you may not believe it, but I could sit at home all day and never talk. Sometimes I could sit at home for a week straight, and I don't need to interact. I get my energy from being by myself with God. That's where my energy comes from. Being by myself with God. And now I'm expending energy, so by the time I get done here, Jerry, that lazy boy is going to look really good when I get home. It's going to be nice to sit down and just take it easy and not interact, because I'm an introvert. I know some of you don't believe me. Trust me, ask my wife. She comes home at lunchtime and says hi to me, and I never say anything. She knows I'm listening. She'll talk to me sometimes, and I never say anything. I'll just look at her, and she'll know what my answer was. Why do I need to talk? But I know that's woman's intuition, that you know what I was supposed to say anyway, right? So why ruin it by saying what I'm thinking? No, we have found a way to communicate without me talking. Because sometimes I'll just look at her and she will explain the whole question that I had in my mind without ever saying it. Seriously, it happens. I'm an introvert. And I can only do this when the Holy Spirit's within me and leading me. I can only interact with people in the best possible way when the Holy Spirit's within me, carrying the works out that God wants me to do. I can only be in impossible situations where I don't feel comfortable and don't want to be there when the Holy Spirit is in me and living through me. So if you're sitting there and going, I can't be the person that God wants me to be, then I'm going to tell you this, your God's pretty small. I can't live outside my comfort zone. Your God's pretty small. Because the God I know that we all serve wants to empower you to do some incredible things, some impossible things, some things that you've never done before, some things outside your comfort zone by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when this happens, when it happens to us, we become heirs of the kingdom and have the assurance of eternal life. When the Holy Spirit works through me so that I can be the person that God wants me to be, I have the assurance of eternal life. Why would God do that through me if I wasn't going to get eternal life also, besides salvation? Those are two different things, folks. And I become heir of the kingdom. You know what that means? Do you know how big God's kingdom is? And I get to inherit part of it. And you can too. If you live that renewed life that God's asking you to live. If you allow the Holy Spirit to come into you and live through you. There's nothing you can do to deserve any of that. Nothing. It's all by God's grace, God's mercy, God's kindness, and God's love. And I really wish that we could get that word to more people. I really wish that. I want to ask you this Christmas. Are you actively moving forward on this spiritual journey? Are you actively moving forward on living the new life that God has for you? Are you actively moving forward on living outside your comfort zone? Are you? And I'm going to go back and repeat a piece of this song because I need to hear it. So I reached out to Jesus crying, "Lord, hear my plea, for I want you to have all of me." Let's pray. Lord, in the darkness of this world, you came to me and you asked me to be your son. You asked me to experience a new life, a washing away of sins, accepting your forgiveness, accepting the gift of a life of living outside the comfort zone by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, it's you have designed that as the very best for my life. And Lord, you've also designed that for the very best of every person who's listening right now. You've designed a life for them of power, of strength, of energy, of newness, of a new direction, a new life, a new empowering by the Holy Spirit to be the person that you desire for them to be. Lord, whatever's keeping people from doing this, I pray that you would show them how to get past it, how to walk over it, around it, to climb over it, to dig a tunnel under it, whatever it might be that's keeping them from living this newness of life that you have given them as part of what Jesus Christ has done for us. May each person who hears this message be able to step ever closer of giving all to Jesus Christ and to your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.